Now live from Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your host Mike Dempsey and Ryan O'Halloran.
Hey, welcome in everybody. Happy Tuesday. Happy first day of free agency opening up in less than 6 hours. Mike Dempsey, Ryan O'Halloran from the Florida Times Union. Fat Tony here with you on Jaguars Today on 1010 XL 92.5 FM. Ryan,
we're on the air.
We've made them wait. All right, but it's going to be even better because of the waiting. Jaguars today getting a delayed start because of the I'm going to blame it on the overload, the Twitter overload of free agent frenzy. It has nothing to do with Twitter whatsoever, the reason we're on at quarter after today instead of the top of the hour.
Hey, you know, I guess what's it almost been a year now? Is this the first time it's happened when I've been in here?
We've had a glitch or two along the way. I don't recall if we've ever had to make that scrambled drive back to Hogan Road or not. I don't recall. It doesn't mean I may have blocked it out. You know what I mean?
We're plotting. We could have made it.
We could have.
We would have been there. We would have been if we.
We would have been there now.
We would have been better by now.
But we're here now, and that's what matters. We're here live at Everbank on a day where it certainly appears, unless something falls through at the last minute, the Jags are going to sign as many as four players today, maybe more. But it seems like they're going down the road to having an agreement with Julius Thomas, the tight end now, formerly of the Denver Broncos, Jared Odrick, defensive lineman from the Miami Dolphins, Jeremy Parnell, a part-time starter with the Dallas Cowboys. We'll talk about him as presumably your walk-in starting right tackle if you're going to pay him the kind of money that's been reported on out there. And Dan Scuda, who's been more of a special teamer, role player, linebacker in his career with both Cincinnati and San Francisco, but brings a little bit of versatility to the linebacking core and a decent contract as well, if those numbers are correct.
Yeah, he's getting starter money.
Right, he's getting 5 years, $20 million, so you presume he's your starting strong side linebacker, I'm imagining, coming in the door. I don't know what the market would be like for a guy like Bruce Carter, who I'm a fan of, who's pretty versatile linebacker as well. I can't imagine. Is he going to get that far north of $4 million a year?
I mean, the vibe I was getting about Carter the last couple weeks is that most teams saw him as just a two-year guy.
On a two-year deal going forward.
Yeah, you know, okay, you count on for 2 years. Does that mean he gets a 3 or 4 year deal? So that's the guy I would have pursued because he's played middle, weak side, and strong side. He played strong side last
year.
Good
in coverage.
5 interceptions last year, but he has some injury concerns.
Sure.
So, I mean, overall with these four guys right now, you know, Thomas makes the class. If they would have lost out on him at the last minute, that would have been a
It was potentially devastating yesterday. As I'm driving home and I'm thinking about this Seattle thing, you know, you get to the point where we try to stress yesterday, nothing's official on any of these. You see it with Frank Gore, right, who apparently looked like he had a deal in place. The numbers were reported. Of course, the NFL is very unhappy about any numbers being reported, but nonetheless, he had a deal in place to go become a Philadelphia Eagle. Second thoughts now looks like he may end up an Indianapolis Colt. Until 4 o'clock, and really until these guys sign on the dotted line, that could still conceivably occur, but it doesn't look likely now for any of these guys.
I mean, it's, you know, they agree to terms. You know, when they get on the plane, that's the next step. You know, then you have to pass a physical, sign the deal. The Frank Gore thing, and I've had players tell me this before, what happened with Frank Gore is he agreed to his deal, and he got somebody in his ear saying, you can get more.
You can get more money, right.
Yeah, and or the Colts called and says, hey, we didn't even have a chance to call you. So that's why just eliminate this three-day window. When you start the league year, open it up, make it the wild, wild west.
You know, but I don't have a problem with the three-day window because the three-day window should allow Frank Gore to test the market. The problem is if he is telling Philadelphia, I'm going to take your deal, there are really no repercussions to it, though, you know, other because he's a veteran. He's not going to come up on another contract. It's not ever going to be held against him. It stinks for Philly, but at least apparently they know that prior to the actual opening of free agency.
Yeah, I really hate these 4 days, you know, starting Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and today. You know, it's probably the worst 4 days of my year.
What are you talking about?
Because I just hate it. I didn't leave the house yesterday. I was in my jammies the whole day.
Yeah.
I hate
it. You got to work sometimes.
Well, I work a lot.
All right. Well,
trust me.
So then what is
a lot
it
more than some other people at the paper. That's for damn sure.
Wow. He just threw his own organization under the bus right there. What is it about these days, then, that drives you crazy?
People don't acknowledge the Florida Times Union or the Jaguars. you know, you send an email saying, hey, you know, Florida Times Union, hey, confirm interest in this player or this team. I have a piece of paper on my desk. I'm at 52 or 53 emails sent over the last 4 days, two responses from agents. Because we're all the local guys around the league are just total minions. So that's the frustrating part.
I'm not sure. I
don't like to be frustrated.
I'm missing a step somewhere here because I'm not sure. I'm not trying to be dense here. It's just going over my head.
You're just guessing on trying who's interested in who. You know, like, you know, usually during the season, we're ahead on a lot of the stuff regarding this team. This is the only 4 days of the year where we're not. That sucks.
And that's because of what, exactly? Because the agents are talking to national reporters as opposed to local reporters?
100%
correct. Okay. So, all right. So it's a personal frustration with the way agents handle the signing period. Yes. Is that a fair? All right. Fair characterization. All right. Let's move off of that.
That's why I would just eliminate the negotiating period because it just, you know, because obviously the league had to know the teams are going to break this rule. I mean, it's a stupid rule.
Sure they do.
So,
but they've been
modify it.
They've been breaking it, and they probably will modify it, but they've been breaking it for years when there's supposed to be literally no conversations held before the opening of free agency, and guys would get signed 2 minutes after that, at which you knew tampering was taking place. At least they try to legitimize it a little bit. It's like the end of Prohibition. To some degree. Doesn't mean all alcohol laws go out the window. It just means it's not illegal across the board.
So anyways, about these guys that they've gotten here. You know, it seems to me on Cobb that they weren't going to go. You know, I don't think they're one of the teams that offered them $12 million. I would believe that. I think Oakland did. And really, you look at, you know, McCourty, and here's the thing that some fans, like, were upset about Cobb and McCourty. When a guy re-signs with his own team, you're sort of fighting City Hall on that one if you're the Jags, because those guys want to stay in that comfort zone. You can all basically just offer them money to leave.
Sure.
So,
well, and
so you can't count that as a loss, I guess is my better way of saying it.
Well, yeah, they never made it to free agency. I think most, look, I'm sure there's, well, you can't speak for everybody out there. People are going to be upset that they didn't sign every player on their personal wish list. That's their prerogative. But I think most people understand, look, you made a run at those guys to whatever level you made that run. Yeah, Randall Cobb makes a lot of sense if Green Bay's going to pay him $10 million, which the reports were they weren't going to go that high. He would stay and play with Aaron Rodgers. Same thing with McCourty. They just won the Super Bowl. He's going to get $9.5 million a year. How much more was he conceivably going to get in an unknown situation elsewhere? And what is that worth, you know, versus the chance to maybe go back and repeat as Super Bowl champs?
The McCourty money was surprising that he got that from New England. I thought they would do their thing where they're not going to pay, you know, I thought they'd go like 7 or 8. You know, and they came in a little bit higher than that. So, I mean, there was no way that he was going to turn that down from his home team.
Honestly, when the guy is that good compared to the rest of the available players at his position, I mean, I look, it's somebody's paying the money, but $8 million, $9.5 million, really? You're going to quibble over the price of a practice squad guy? You know what I mean? Like the 51st man on the roster, or whatever the case. I know there are guys that make less than that, but it's not a ton of money when you're talking about a premier player at his position in the
NFL.
Well,
that's like what people were saying last week. Well, you know, the they should offer Randall Cobb $10.5 million, but not 11. What the hell's the difference?
Yeah.
So I mean, any of these guys. I mean, like Dave Caldwell said last week, they had, you know, yes, they have the cap space, but also they have a breaking point on each player they've identified, and they weren't willing to go over that for some guys, and so they moved on to the next guy.
And that's,
that's what you have to do.
Every team operates like that, right? So you're going to put a number on, and whether it's, you know, the difference between 10.5 and 11 million, whatever the case may be, I think if you got down to it and you set your parameter that you're willing to pay the guy 10 million and his final asking price is 10.5, you'd probably find the way to fudge that final number. The difference is you start getting down that slippery slope. Well, I'm going to take that 10.5 to some other team. They're going to offer me 11. Will you go 11.5? So you got to draw the line at some point in time. I get the sense, though, that they went after a couple of guys that re-signed with their team. Certainly Julius Thomas was a priority, and I agree with you Driving home yesterday, there was a lot of speculation Seattle's going to make a late run. I talked with Liz Matthews yesterday from 710 ESPN up in Seattle, and she's pretty plugged in. She's been their sideline reporter for a number of years and said that, you know, she was hearing the same thing everybody else was hearing, but that ultimately Seattle didn't like to try to outbid anybody, particularly with the way that cap is set up, you know, with Russell Wilson still to get his deal. They got some big money guys, so she didn't think it was likely unless he was really willing to consider less money to play for a team that's been in the Super Bowl the last couple of years.
And you look at Seattle, they need receiver help. They need they signed Kerry Williams for $6 million a year. Well, like, what? So they had some, I mean, tight end looked, that Thomas would have been a luxury for them, and they don't really have the space to do that at this point.
No, they probably don't, but that's a team that also doesn't throw outside the numbers a ton compared to other teams in the National Football League, so you could argue that he'd become their number one target in Seattle, and in an offense that's more ground-oriented, you know, having a high-volume receiving tight end, that's often been paired together in recent NFL history. You've seen a lot of that stuff work. So it looks like Julius Thomas is coming on board, but other than that, I don't want to put words in your mouth. How would you characterize the potential haul of the four guys that it looks like they're going to get at this point in time?
Let's take them one by one. Odrick is interesting because obviously they, I mean, Red Bryant's due $500,000 bonus on the fifth league year, which is Tuesday, Sunday.
Something like that, yeah.
So okay.
League year starts at 4 o'clock today, right?
Yeah. So I think there's a correlation there, and you can't have. We can't have 12 defensive linemen on your 53-man roster, so you're sort of running out of spots here because you re-signed Tyson, you signed Odrick. He played out of position last year at tackle for Miami. Talked a couple people. They feel he's a better fit as a 4-3 end, so he'd play that, you know, strong side end spot. The other two guys are interesting because they paid a lot of money, and they're projecting. Scuda, last time Jaguar fans saw him, he was turning a fumble against them in London for a touchdown. Started when Alden Smith was suspended in a 3-4 as an outside linebacker.
Pretty productive on a per play basis. Mm-hmm.
Is he their auto? Does that allow them to, when they draft linebacker in April and May, does that mean they can draft exclusively to groom a middle linebacker of the future? And then on Parnell, short sample size, but the right tackle market was thin to begin with and dwindling rapidly,
look,
so they had to make a move.
If they feel, and my take on Parnell is this is the guy they prioritized, right? Because the money that he's getting, again, if these figures are accurate, he's getting about $6.5 million on average over a five-year deal, right? If the report we saw yesterday, I think 5 years, $32.5 million is accurate. It was said that Bulaga's asking price was somewhere in the $7.5 million range. So if you're paying this guy $6.5 million, if you're within $1 million, $1.5 million of what we feel was the top guy, that tells me it's not about the money difference. It's about the injury history of Brian Bulaga, right? The relative youth, the less tread taken off the tire, so to speak. We don't think of linemen in those terms as we do running backs as often, but they see something in Parnell that they think projects to be a safer, better alternative. And my feeling is if you sign a guy in these first couple of days, this is the guy you wanted, usually. Now, obviously, if you miss out on Randall Cobb and you moved on to the next guy, there are certain cases where that's not the case. But Bulaga hasn't come off the board. And most people felt he was the top guy. Doug Free, you could have signed last week if you wanted to because of his situation. He got released from his contract, so he was actually eligible. If they wanted to make a run of him, they could have done it. And he went cheaper back to Dallas at $5 million a year over 3 years. So to me, that tells me they, out of all the guys available, prioritized Parnell at the top of the list to play right tackle. Makes sense? I mean, whether they're right or not, I think they got their man.
We have to, you know, it's they were Bulaga was the name value guy. But they're not in that to sign name recognition guys.
So, sure.
And you know, and you look like a lot of other teams aren't in that deal either because, you know, you thought he would have something in place by now. He's sort of still floating out there, which shows you that teams are concerned about him with the hip and the knee. So, yeah, I mean, it's they give a right tackle like that. I mean, they are taking – I think you can say any free agent contract worth that money is a leap of faith. But, you know, the projection game didn't work great last year. in free agency. So let's see if they can go to that well again with more success.
Right. And, you know, look.
Both those guys.
They had to do something, though. Right? You could sit here and say, I mean, to me, I look at a deal like that. You could sit here and say, well, it's a projection. It's a bit of a leap of faith. What's your alternative? Come back with the same cast of characters? I mean, you've got to try to improve that position. Maybe you overpay. Maybe you have overpaid. Maybe it'll turn out that you overpaid. But if this is the guy that they felt, and based on this, my deducing of the situation, this is the guy they said was the best alternative for them to come and play right tackle. We'll find out if it's right or not. You don't, to me, it just seemed kind of like, blah, it's not that impressive, the group. Again, I'm not trying to put words in your mouth. I'm trying to get how you feel about where things stand.
Yeah,
right,
I mean,
now.
I thought this team needs to score points. And if, you know, if they end up with DeMarco Murray by the end of the week, then you change your tune on that because, you know, you're going to overpay for a running back. I don't care. That's why you have $64 million in cap space, is to pay 110 cents on the dollar. They didn't overpay as much for Julius Thomas as, you know, I would have thought compared to what he turned down. I mean, it was like 108 cents on the dollar compared to what he turned down in Denver last year. So, you know, the fact they went after Cobb and now they're just going to sit back on some receivers, a little surprised at that. I didn't expect them to go after Macklin, Torrey. They're not interested in Crabtree, I don't think. Maybe there's a veteran receiver out there, but you know, it's I think they need one more. They need to get a running back and then one more weapon on offense.
Well, and they may, but I think you're right. I think that market's going to settle down. If you're not, you just don't necessarily go to the next guy on the list if you don't think his value is going to be right. If you felt like Cobb was head and shoulders above those alternatives, you know, and hey, look, you can only, there are only so many guys you can be negotiating with simultaneously as well, right? As Dave Caldwell is making calls and he's trying to woo Devin McCourty, well, other GMs are making calls, trying to woo Jeremy Macklin and so on and so forth. So you're not going to get everybody, even if you get them all on the line. To me, I'm pretty impressed with the start that they've had, if they in fact land all these guys. I'm not saying Scooter's almost like a throw-in, but he comes in as basically a starter. Is he better than what they had? That's the question. Are they going to overpay on some of these guys? Probably time will prove that they have, but they got the cap space to do it, and it beats the alternative, which is not upgrading, at least in my opinion. Today, we ask you, the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships Fan Feedback Spotlight, what about DeMarco Murray, the one other big-name guy out there who's at least been, I don't know if connected with the Jags, but speculated to be connected with the Jags.
I think part of the reason is they're connected because it's convenient. Yeah.
It makes sense. Yeah. It makes, I mean, there is a logical sense that it makes.
I mean, it makes total, like, it makes total monopoly money sense. You know, because a lot of people project this not knowing, you know, the what you pay a running back. Well, they have money. They need a running back. Oh, that's a match. I think, I mean, from Murray's camp, this has been this has to be a disappointing week, because I'm sure in the front and back of his mind, he always thought Dallas would come back to him, where everybody sort of else thought they weren't going to. So I think he has to circle back now. Some seats at the table are taken up. So where's he going to end up?
Yeah, well, we'll find out where he ends up. But I mean, it really, you look at it, the seats at the table, Mark Ingram stayed where he was. You knew New Orleans wasn't going to pay DeMarco Murray. They couldn't play in that tax bracket. I'm surprised. They're still over the cap. They still got work to do before 4 o'clock today. So they get Mark Ingram back on a deal that's just a little bit more money than Toby Gerhardt got last year. They were never going to pay DeMarco Murray. And, yeah, maybe Buffalo could have been a player, but now that opens up Philadelphia. There's always going to be some seat sitting out there. It is interesting, though, that the guy that led the league in rushing, I understand all the touches and everything that went with it, is being talked about as almost a spare part. You'd get that sense. Do you think that there is legitimate interest from the Jaguar organization to whatever their price point is, will they pursue DeMarco Murray?
Yes.
Okay. We're going to ask that. That's what we're asking today. Should they aggressively pursue DeMarco Murray?
Yes.
Sure. That's fine. We're asking everyone else that question as well.
I wanted to save myself a tweet.
Okay. AdamD underscore 1010XL, at Ryan O'Halloran, at 1010XL, Fat Tony, at 1010XL, Tyler. If you want to get in today, talk free agency. The number open to you, 641-1010 is the number as always. So If we're able to take calls, not sure about that. We're not going to be able to take calls, you're telling me, Tony. Is that right?
It doesn't look good for phone calls.
All right, email MikeD@1010XL.com and send the tweets as well to the aforementioned. You can also post on the Jaguars Today Facebook page. Phone lines having issues today, so we'll do our best to get that straightened out as we go along. But in the meantime, Mike Dempsey, Ryan O'Hauer, and Fat Tony here with you. It's Jaguars Today. Free agency opening up in 5.5 hours. This is 1010XL, 92.5 FM. You're on. All right, Jaguars Day continues. We're live at Everbank Field. Mike Dempsey, Ryan O'Hauer, and Fat Tony here with you in the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios. Phone lines on the fritz right now, but you can tweet the program at MD_1010XL, at Ryan O'Hauer, and at 1010XL Fat Tony. Free agency officially opens up in a little under 6 hours this afternoon. The National Football League is looking into all of the deals that apparently have been struck. You have a, I don't know what expression that is on your face. It's not a happy one,
no,
which
no,
is typical.
I'm trying, what's my usual expression?
Yes. It's, that's one of them.
It's like with some people in the league office were so bored this weekend. You, stop doing that. Stop doing it. And you're like, dog ate my homework.
I truly don't understand.
Dog ate my homework.
Nobody
what do
understands.
What do you think's going to happen if you give a 3-day tampering period? Or seriously, they expect teams to go talk to an agent and say, yes, we'd be interested in Julius Thomas. And that be
what
the
are
end
the
of
parameters
the
that you're interested in? Well, we'd be willing to probably pay something like 5 years. $45 million. Is that an offer? Oh, no, that's not an offer. That's just what we would pay him if he wanted to play here.
One, why have the tampering period? Two, why does the NFL care? Why do they
honestly
care?
Why do they care? You know why they care? Florio, Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, put this theory out that they want to make 4 o'clock on Tuesday free agency opening up kind of like National Signing Day, right, where they have several guys and you're tuned into the NFL Network for wall-to-wall coverage. Guess what? We're going to be tuned in anyway. Even though we know where they're going, we're still going to be tuned in.
I was going to say, does he think we don't know where recruits are going?
Right.
On National Signing Day? That's
right. That's become
absurd.
Less and less, too. But there is still some National Signing Day. ESPN spreads out a series of announcements throughout the day, and it's down to 2 or 3 teams, and they come on and they throw the hat on.
Sure.
They still do that.
DeMarco
it's
Murray, where's he going?
Fewer
How about Greg Hardy? Where's he going?
I gotcha.
Michael Crabtree?
C.C. Jefferson.
Right. I mean, honestly, there are still
DeMarco
guys.
DeMarco may wait until later to.
Sure.
He doesn't have to sign on signing
day.
There's
still guys we don't know.
Yeah, like Tony, you just hit what I was going to say. There's still going to be a healthy dose of intrigue between 4 o'clock and 10 o'clock tonight. And then there's going to be another layer tomorrow when teams start going on the second waves and want to start bringing guys in for visits and not really let them out of the building. So Florio's completely right. And he also quoted, I think, Pro Football Talk, record numbers of traffic this weekend, NFL.com, owned and operated by the National Football League, record numbers. So I don't see the issue. And
I don't either.
And if a GM is stupid enough to email a contract offer out, then they deserve to be punished.
By the way, the Dolphins, according to Almando Salguero of the Miami Herald, are reportedly very nervous about this investigation. They're the ones, out of all the deals.
We know the contract.
Yesterday we had questions, well, wait a minute, why are you characterizing Julius Thomas as not done until it's done, but you're characterizing Sue as done? Well, because Sue, they cited you chapter and verse. Here's the years, here's the deal, here's the guaranteed money, here's how much he's getting in the first 3 years, here's everything.
And we knew Saturday at 11 a.m. I mean, We knew so early in the day on Saturday what his contract
with Julius Thomas is expected to sign with the Jags. Very, you know, even yesterday it was a Denver Post report that said 5 years, $45 million. We don't know if those are the official numbers until they're done, unless O'Halloran's holding out on us over there.
Yeah, Ryan.
Come on, Ryan. But regardless, look, and it looked like for a minute there, Julius Thomas, there maybe not he was wavering, but there were some late pushes coming in to try to move him out. It is so funny to read, let him keep thinking it, but just to read all the comments about Julius Thomas's career is going to die, this guy, we'll never hear from him again. I mean, the whole thing with Sharf's just salty because he's such a homer Bronco fan. I understand it. It's where he won the Super Bowl. It's, you know, where he played his career. But he's mad because he's leaving Denver. How dare you leave Denver and choose the Jacksonville Jaguars? So he's being a big crybaby about that. Big deal.
Yeah, I mean, Mark, shut up.
Who cares?
Look, his take was exactly the same as the first 10 people who responded to Adam Schefter's tweet. And by the way, those are Joe Blow fans from around the nation. So
that's insightful, Mark. That's my point. I mean, when it comes to the Broncos, he is Joe Blow fan.
Yeah. But I do want to let you know, we were talking about DeMarco Murray have been all morning, and are the Jags in? Are they not? The word out of Dallas has been that for the last week they haven't really been having conversations. That was as of this morning. Ian Rappaport tweeted out just within the last 5 minutes that the Cowboys executive Stephen Jones and DeMarco Murray's agent spoke last night as they've tried a final push to sign him. As he puts it, we shall see. Who knows exactly what DeMarco Murray's thinking? He pulled all his comments about the Dallas Cowboys down from his Twitter account, so he was obviously upset to some degree by the way Dallas was treating him throughout this free agency process to this point. Well, who knows if he lands in Jacksonville or somewhere else, but certainly not happy with Dallas.
Well, who knows? I mean, we all sit here and we'd say, well, he's going to do this, he's going to do that. Likely, if the money's close, he'll stay with Dallas. They have a great offensive line. He's used to the offense and all that, but he, who knows? Maybe he's the kind of guy that does take things so personally that he's going to be like, you know what? Screw you guys. If the Jags offer me a great bid, or somebody else for that matter, that we don't know because there are always surprise signings out there.
Well, apparently the Cards and Bucks are in on him too, reportedly. Reportedly, the Cardinals and Buccaneers.
Interesting.
I'm trying to remember a parallel to DeMarco Murray. Edgerrin James was a little older, I think. Maybe a little more.
When he went to Arizona? Yeah, he was.
You know, Indy was ready to move on. Thanks for your service. It's time to move on. I mean, I think Dallas wants to be humane about this and sort of says, okay, we'll keep talking to you, but, you know, offer him a number he feel like he'll be insulted by. They can't pay everybody on offense. Tony Romo has a $27 million cap number this year, and they're going to pay Dez more than 10. So,
but here's the thing I don't get. Why is it all of a sudden this DeMarco Murray? I can't believe $8 million for DeMarco Murray. When LeSean McCoy just restructured a deal, it's going to pay him $16 million this year. How is that too much money for DeMarco Murray? How is Marshawn Lynch? You're telling me Marshawn Lynch doesn't have wear and tear on his body just because he doesn't have 392 carries in one season? He's a consistent 300-carry guy who plays a bruising style of football. Oh, they're going to bring him back for $12 million this year.
Well, I think that's why the Murray camp would be right to be patient, because it's the old adage, all it takes is one team. That's been proven twice already this month, with Seattle re-upping with Lynch and also Buffalo redoing McCoy's deal. So I'm sure they're not going to rush to judgment because they know that there's some teams that need running back help. So see if they can wedge it up a little bit.
I understand that Adrian Peterson is a special talent, but the guy's going to be 30 years old this year.
Yeah.
And he has had significant injuries in his career. He had a torn ACL just a few years ago. I get it. Is he a better talent than DeMarco Murray? Yes. But I think people are underselling DeMarco Murray here. It's not all that Cowboy offensive line. Do you watch him run the football? Right? Do you agree?
I mean, yeah, I do. Because he breaks tackles.
He does. He breaks tackles. He has good speed. He makes guys miss. Now, he has a tendency to fumble too much. Certainly did in the first half of last year. But I'm not saying the guy is Jim Brown, but I think
Scooter actually forced the fumble in the first series of the season.
Well, there you go. Yeah. You won't have to worry about that anymore. Take one off. You take one right off the top, Tony.
Yeah, I was watching him play a little bit last night. And yesterday afternoon, I actually went back and watched a couple of games with Jeremy Parnell just to get an idea of what kind of player the Jaguars were bringing in. And went to Pro Football Focus. I looked at of his starts. Which game did he have the highest grade? Which game did they give him the lowest grade? And watched those two games yesterday afternoon before my show last night. And look, I think Parnell's a pretty good player. I think you see the athleticism of a guy who used to play basketball, playing that right tackle spot, handled speed rushes very well, maybe not so great against power coming up against him. But I think it is an upgrade at right tackle for this team. But watching him, it's hard not to see DeMarco Murray and be like, gosh, that guy's special. Like, the things he does make guys miss. He does turn plays that should be negatives into 4 or 5 yard plays. He's always fallen forward. He's a violent runner. He is a playmaker in this league, and I think it has been a little underwhelming the way people are reacting to this guy potentially being a free agent in the Dallas Cowboys, not bringing him back. It's a mistake by Dallas to let him walk.
I watched the Giants-Cowboys game where Parnell started, and first probably needs to get a new chin strap because he's lost his helmet like 3 times in the first series.
Yeah, he did.
But you mentioned that for the Murray perspective is the Cowboys' offensive line wasn't exactly pancaking guys, because all Murray needed was a crease.
Yep.
you know, he'd get up, you know, he'd get 9 yards on first down and 17 on second down. So it's rare that a guy like this hits the market. Go get him.
So what if you have 1 year of some dead money on your cap, by the way, when the cap keeps growing and growing like it's going right now, the Jags next year, for instance, all right, let's say you pay DeMarco Murray $8 million, $10 million, and you know, he's only going to give you a couple of good years. You're going to roll Posluszny off your books. You're going to roll Mercedes Lewis off your books. You're going to create more cap space. There are no huge impending extensions on the horizon right now. Spend it while you got it. I know, look, and everyone's entitled to their opinion and may turn out to be the right one. Some people are suggesting let's wait and have them draft and develop a guy, okay? Why can't you do both? What you can still you can take DeMarco Murray. It doesn't mean you look. If I spend $8 to $10 million on DeMarco Murray, I probably don't prioritize drafting a running back. But if one falls to you in the fourth round, go take him. Park him on your bench. Plenty of teams do it. Seattle, Christian Michael, two years ago, drafted him in the second round as maybe the eventual successor to Marshawn Lynch.
Jeremy Hill in Cincinnati.
If Lynch keeps keeping him on the bench, fine. Then you have better depth and talent overall on your team.
I think, look, a couple years ago when the rookie contract structure changed in the draft, so there's less money being taken up by rookies in the draft, and everyone talked about how does that change the way the first round, especially of the NFL draft, is going to work, teams willing to maneuver, that kind of thing. There was an adjustment period, right, with that. I think because of the lowered rookie contracts and the fact that the cap keeps coming up and the minimum spending that you do have in the league and you have to spend 89% over a four-year period, all these things, there are teams that are trying to adjust to what it looks like to life in this NFL too from a free agency perspective. Now, maybe the swings that the Jaguars take on some of these guys miss if they brought in a guy like DeMarco Murray, but maybe it's the right way to go about it, too. And when you have guys that can play at the level of DeMarco Murray hitting free agency, you take a swing at a guy like that.
Then you applaud the effort. Throw something at you in this one. Okay, they feel they've signed a guy that could be a right tackle. Let's say they do get Murray. To me, that means your draft needs are a little less. I go after that. I give up that second-round pick, sign Tayshaun Gibson to a poison pill contract, play free safety. Done deal.
I don't know.
Because you were looking at running back there at the top of the second anyway,
yeah.
Right, Ryan?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know if there's a free safety.
I think a lot of people were looking at right tackle.
Yeah, I don't know if there's a, certainly if there's a free safety worth it. I'm not a big fan of giving up that high a pick in the second round and then going and spending the kind of money that comes along with it. That's the one thing about your draft picks. Yes, you've got to find the comparable player to Tayshaun Gibson, but you're going to pay him so much less, and that's going to be locked in for the next 3 years. You're not even allowed to renegotiate those deals, so I'm not as eager to give up a second-round pick on a restricted free agent in that regard. 641, well, I almost gave out the phone line. You can call and talk to Tyler at 641-1010. We can't get you on the air right now, but we'll come back with this date in football history, the Honda drive around the NFL, and the latest scuttlebutt from around the National Football League as free agency opening up now just a little over 5 hours away. Mike Dempsey, Ryan O'Halloran, Fat Tony here with you. Jaguars today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history brought to you this week by the Best Fence Company of Jacksonville. This date, 50 years ago, on March the 10th, 1965, the Woodsons brought a bouncing baby into the world, named him Rod. Rod Woodson was a member of the 75th anniversary all-time NFL team,
yeah, he
Tony.
He's an okay player.
I'm going to indulge myself here. Joe Montana, mm-hmm. Let's see, Gale Sayers. Going down the list here. Jerry Rice, Mike Ditka, Kellen Winslow, Anthony Munoz. Let's see, who else? Deacon Jones, Merlin Olsen, Mike Haynes, Rod Woodson, Ronnie Lott. Those are members of the 75th anniversary all-time team that I've interviewed at Radio Row over the years. And some of those have since departed us. So I'm glad I got my time in. For instance, I interviewed Merlin Olsen one time a few years ago, but
Deacon.
Deacon's gone. I don't know
he was so much fun to talk to, man.
No, Deacon was a blast, no question about it. Rod Woodson, hell of a player, came in with Pittsburgh, obviously, spent nearly a decade there, spent a year with the 49ers, 3 years with the Ravens. He was on that 2001 team that won the Super Bowl and then finished his career with the Oakland Raiders. That is This Date in Football History, brought to you by the Best Fence Company of Jacksonville. Their mission to fabricate and install the highest quality fencing product for you at a competitive price while giving you unsurpassed customer service. Call for a professional free estimate at your convenience at 268-1638 or visit bestfencejacks.net for more information. That is This Date in Football History.
Now, the Honda Drive Around the NFL, brought to you by your Jacksonville area Honda dealers.
All right, looking around the National Football League at some of the free agency news going on right now. Darrelle Revis officially released from the New England Patriots yesterday. He will become a free agent at 4 o'clock this afternoon.
Sign him!
Thank you.
Come
some
on.
Some of the teams that have already been mentioned as interested in Darrelle Revis
when Jaguars.
The Jags available at 4 o'clock. The Cleveland Browns, the
Jack
New England
Twitter.
Patriots, and the New York Jets.
O'Halloran.
3 years, $60 million, fully guaranteed.
My goodness. Frank Gore, we thought that he was going to be a Philadelphia Eagle for about 48 hours now. Apparently getting cold feet. Reconsidering that move to Philadelphia in 3 years, $7.5 million may have something to do with it, but reconsidering his options, Indianapolis may be the place that he winds up now. And Andre Johnson, who's one of the best in the past decade in the National Football League, he has been released from the Houston Texans officially. His brother has unleashed his wish list, which includes four teams.
Had to play in the conference championship last year.
The New England Patriots, the Indianapolis Colts, the Seattle Seahawks, and the Green Bay Packers. That would be just about
subtle.
Anybody's wish list.
Hey, look, I think the Colts make perfect sense, though. I don't want to see the Colts get him, but it makes perfect sense with Reggie Wayne moving on. You don't force Dante Moncrief into too big a role if you don't have to. You have Andre Johnson out there to be your possession guy. T.Y. Hilton stretch the field. And I thought Dan Hicken made a good point today. Let him have Frank Gore. Much more concern for the Jags if DeMarco Murray ends up in Indianapolis than if Frank Gore ends up in Indianapolis.
And a week ago, I thought that was the best fit for Murray.
Absolutely.
You know, and the Colts say, you know, they should be going for it.
Well, look, I guess, I mean, the reports are around the league, people are really wondering if he's a product of Dallas's offensive line and will the workload take a toll on it. And I think they're legitimate concerns, but I think they're worth rolling the dice on. I'll say this about Frank Gore. Frank Gore hasn't missed a game in a long time. Frank Gore ended the season last year with two monster games in week 16 and 17. So, you know, you think that guys can't be productive at
There's
that age.
There's always an exception.
There's always an exception. And look, if you sign him to a two-year deal and you get one good year out of him, that's probably what you're expecting and you're hoping for the two, and you'll go get yourself another running back somewhere else. So I don't think he's the worst investment you can make. And the price tag, what was he going to sign for in Philly? Like 2 years, $7 million, something like that?
Three for seven. It was definitely a three-year contract.
So it wasn't any kind of big money deal out there.
Two, I think, were guaranteed.
I don't see what the big deal is. I wouldn't want to build my offense around him, but you're not doing that if you're bringing him in to play with Andrew Luck. What about Mercedes Lewis? If Julius Thomas, and we're presuming he becomes, but I'm going to keep saying if until it's official. If Julius Thomas is a Jaguar, is Mercedes Lewis approach to restructure? Is he outright released if he doesn't want to restructure? Is he released anyway? Or is he simply just part of the Jags' plans because they can afford him no matter what the cap figure is?
The tea leaves I'm getting is that it'd be the last. They're not under a crunch to cut them. And unless you're up against the cap, you can't ask a guy to take a pay cut. And I don't think Dave Caldwell wants to get into the business of adding years to lower the cap number until he absolutely has to. That's why Posluszny, they haven't approached his camp yet. So from Lewis, I mean, I don't know, you're paying two tight ends a combined $17 million in cap space. I don't know what Lewis's role would be because everybody says he's this great blocker. Well, that took a step back last year, when he came back, you know, he got
still going to be better than Thomas at this stage in that regard.
Yeah. If they're going to keep him, just let him play out the deal. This is the last year of his contract.
Yeah.
And, you know, if it comes to camp and you guys aren't happy with each other, then you go your separate ways. I would do it right now. Just to say, hey, thank you for your service and move on. I think they can, get something else for that.
Here's the thing. Maybe they could, but they're not going to spend every penny of cap space they have. Okay, they're not going to, if they have 70 million, let's call it 70 million for a nice round figure, right? Mm-hmm. You could have 80 something million if you got rid of Pozlosny and Mercedes. You'd then need a new middle linebacker, but you're not going to spend all of it anyway. Even if they keep these guys, they're not going to spend $69.9 million of their cap space. You got to hold some back for the rookie class.
What?
I know you wanted to. Stop it. All right. So, and you're going to get back $8 million in cap space from them next year. The cap hit this year rolls off. You're going to get that space back. So what could you do? You could take him out this year. If you're not going to spend that money, what's the point? Because, yes, you could roll the $6 million in cap savings or whatever into next year. You're going to get that anyway, aren't you?
Well, I would think they've been up front with them. Is, you know, he has to, you know, they have to tell him his role now. You're not a starter anymore. And he'll probably say, hey, as long as you give me my 8.2,
I'm sure he'd be all right with that.
I mean, I thought also he's a very outspoken person at times. So I think he's got to be a good soldier, so to speak.
He'd have a lot of reasons to do that, wouldn't he?
Yeah. So, I would have, 2 months ago, I would never thought that this was possible. I knew they would have the capability to keep him, but I thought they would just make a clean break and start over at that position. And
you think right now the tea leaves indicate he'll be on the team?
I'd say two camp.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's
a lot of stuff.
Right.
Can, you know.
Sure, things can happen at that point in time. If you're Mercedes, like, well, can we talk about maybe guaranteeing that? Yeah, because that's the worst thing if you're a veteran. Sometimes you fall into it if a team has injuries and somebody becomes available, but certainly the big money. It's not like Mercedes is ever going to get an $8 million a year contract from any other team in the National Football League ever.
No.
Right? So if he can make it here, great. The problem is if you get cut in camp, you don't get any of that money. Because that money starts getting paid to you during the season.
And what maybe they're considering on Lewis too is once everybody sort of finds a place a little bit, okay, who needs a tight end? And say, hey,
can you get anything for him?
Can you get anything for him? With the agreement that let's say hypothetically, Baltimore calls who needs a tight end and they say, hey, we'll give you a sixth round pick for him. You go to Mercedes and say, hey, we'll trade you to Baltimore. We'll be a starter, but you need to rework your deal before the deal's official. If I'm him, I say, Baltimore, I would do it.
Right. Well, it depends on what the parameters are.
You say you cut it in half. And they extend you by a year.
Depends on what his agent thinks he could get on the open market. Yeah. If you're saying, hey, look, if you're going to cut me if I don't rework my deal, you know, there's some of that poker game that goes
on.
But
at that point, there may not be a lot of spots open. So
I wonder, I mean, is a team going to be willing to give up anything for a guy? Now, if you rework your deal and you sign a couple-year extension, I don't think anyone's going to give you anything to bring in Mercedes Lewis on 1 year for $8 million.
No.
Why would you give up a draft pick in that circumstance? You know, you might as well draft an extra offensive lineman and have him go out there and block for you.
Well, the only reason would be why San Francisco gave these guys a pick for Gabbert last year is they had 13 draft picks. And they knew not all of them were going to make their roster. So you could take a flyer.
Right, but you're taking a flyer there on a former top 10 quarterback, right? And I get it, Mercedes.
I want to give him a used kicking tee for Gabbert.
Well, whatever. But I understand why in San Francisco's position they would roll the dice on a guy, like you said, when you had all those draft picks. Let's take a chance on a guy that a lot of people thought had talent, whether he was worth a top 10 pick or not. Certainly hasn't turned out to be, but different circumstance. All right, we'll get into the Percy Harvin question. I think I know what the answer is going to be to that, but we'll discuss that a little bit because we've been getting a lot of that on Twitter today. Expecting Julius Thomas, Jarrett Odrick, and Dan Skuda, Jeremy Parnell to perhaps all get their deals signed with the Jaguars. Certainly holding out hope that if that's the indication where they want to go, that they get all four of those guys done without any roadblocks in the way. What's coming off across the wire right now, Tony?
Well, Ian Rappaport, who's on NFL Network right now with their live coverage getting started, just said that Devon House is expected to sign with the Jacksonville Jaguars later today, the cornerback.
Well, there you go. The Jags are not playing around.
Who's he going to play?
I don't know.
Well, it depends on what the contract structure is going to be. Hey, you know what? They're certainly not sitting on their hands. Not everybody, no pun intended with Devon House, not everybody is going to be as household a name. We focused on about 6 to 10 guys.
$6 million a year for a guy who can get on the field in the playoffs.
Is that what he's getting? Is that what the report is?
6.25.
We'll take a look at the details when we come back on the other side. Mike Dempsey, Ryan O'Howard, and Fat Tony here with you. Jaguars today on what should prove to be a very busy First day of free agency for your Jacksonville Jaguars. This is 1010XL, 92.5 FM. We continue along Jaguars today, live at Everbank Field. Mike Dempsey, Ryan O'Halloran, and Fat Tony here with you, 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Phone line's down right now, so if you're trying to get in, you're going to be very frustrated, like you typically are when you listen to me on a given day. But news coming in hot and heavy right now on the free agent front. But before we get back to free agency, one little draft tidbit. I don't want to read too much into it, but I found it mildly interesting yesterday. I saw an item that said Trey Waynes, who some feel is the best cornerback prospect in the draft, had a meeting set up with both Minnesota and Jacksonville, separate meeting set up with those guys. He's a guy, guys, that have been projected to come off the board somewhere between like 10 and 30. Now, conceivably, could have been, I guess, available at the top of the second round for the Jags, but it just looked like, again, maybe just some due diligence on the possibility if they trade down into a range of St. Louis or Cleveland or Philadelphia makes that blockbuster offer to come up and draft Marcus Mariota, you've got to have your focus on a wider range of players at that point in time. Obviously, with the news that it looks like the Jags are going to sign another cornerback today at $6.25 million per, Devon House coming from the Packers, that you would think that would be highly unlikely that they would spend much draft capital on the position with so many young players already on the roster.
Yeah, you would think. And then also, if they start bringing in pass rushers that are probably outside of those main three or four guys, that's another thing.
Sure.
Okay, they're doing they're putting their ducks in a row because I think they would desperately want to trade down.
Let me ask you this. A serious question. You bring in Jared Odrick. Let's assume that gets done, right? You bring back Tyson Alualu. At some point, you suspect that Cedric Marks returns to full health. You've got a lot of capable defensive tackles in the middle. Like you said, you can't have 13 of these guys on the 53-man roster, but you've got Avery Jones. You've got Ziggy Hood. And I'm not saying they're world beaters, but you've got a solid group of guys up front. Maybe not that dynamic pass rusher, but when it comes to Leonard Williams specifically, is there room for Leonard Williams on this football team? And now, some people say, look, he can play anywhere, he can do anything, but you're committing a lot of resources already to your guys up front, and he's not your prototypical, he's not your Leo type. He's not the guy who's going to play the right end. He's going to play the same spot that Odrick would figure to play when everybody is healthy on this football team.
Well, if Williams is there, you figure it out. You take him, and then you say, somebody else becomes expendable because, you know, chances are you're surprised that he was there at three. If Tennessee stays put and doesn't take him.
Probably. The only thing I would disagree with that is you'd probably have a plan. You'd probably already know. You'd already say, all right, if he's there and we take him, what is the plan? I don't think you draft anybody. I don't think you.
Then by then, you know what the plan is.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. You know that, but people say that all the time. They're saying that with Ndamukong Suh. Sign him and figure it out. Well, now, if you're gonna spend $60 million guaranteed, figure it out and then sign him. I think would be the better way to go, which I'm sure they would operate on anyway.
Yeah. So if let's say Leonard Williams is there, you take him, and you mentioned a couple guys who are functional backups. Well, their role becomes diminished or disappears.
Sure.
So I think that's the thing there.
But I guess what I'm saying, you're paying starter money to if you sign Odrick, and let's say Red Bryant's jettison, you're paying starter money then to three guys. I'm leaving right end out of the equation, but we don't think Leonard Williams plays right end in this scheme. Regardless, that's something for down the line. We'll see how that all plays out. And there's a great likelihood, like you said, he could come off the board before the third pick anyway. But just trying to fit all the different puzzle pieces together potentially. As Tony mentioned to you, Ian Rappaport tweeting out this, Jaguars set to add another big-time free agent, ascending former Packer cornerback Devon House set to join the Jags at $6.25 million per year. Your initial reaction?
Interesting number. I mean, that's basically what Alteron Burger got last year.
Right, that's starter money to come in. And so, look, there's nothing wrong with having a surplus of good cornerbacks. And the great thing is the other guys are not taking up much cap space whatsoever. Your point?
Here's this on House. Milwaukee at the end of year grades each player. So the guess is that House will get unrestricted offers for more than the Packers expect, and he'll be gone in the first few days of free agency. Can he be trusted as a full-fledged starter? That's what the Packers and those teams in need of a press man corner with size must answer. He averaged 27 snaps, first 13 games, then got hurt, didn't get on the field in the playoffs, only on special teams. So a lot of money.
It is a lot of money.
Even though you have it, it's still a lot of money.
But look, like you said, they're taking a chance at projecting on some guys. I don't think Byron Maxwell is worth twice the money, and that's kind of close to what he got.
Sure. Yeah.
And there were, it wasn't any interest from this camp on him. The question now you ask is, okay, you have another corner coming in. Are any of these corners going to, do you feel any of these corners can play free safety if you decide to go that direction?
Right.
That's the question you ask now. Now that they've signed another corner,
what are the dimensions on House? I know they said a fairly big press man, kind of guy.
Well, I know the team has said Aaron Colvin's not switching to safety. I think they've been pretty clear on that. But would it be Dwayne Grotz is a guy they take a look at free safety, or what would they do?
I asked Dave Caldwell about Grotz last week, and he said that they're gonna stick with him at corner. This obviously was before this happened. You know, the reason they say they don't want to move a corner to free safety is, usually you put a guy back there who's not as great in coverage. Maybe a different philosophy. I'd put Colvin back there because I think he's a sideline guy who has a nose for the football and can create some turnovers on that back end. But also, is he potentially your best corner? Then you keep him there. So there's a lot of puzzle pieces just laying in a pile right now, and you got time to put them together.
But there's nothing wrong with having a surplus of guys at that position, right?
No.
I mean, because you are, especially, look, you're going to line up against Indy. There are going to be times when Indy's going to spread the field on you, whether it's tight ends or whatever. You've got to be able to match up with passing games
in
today's NFL.
You're playing three corners a lot anyway.
Sure.
Which is why Dwayne Grotz may not have been a starter coming into the year, but he was a guy that was expected to play a lot of football. It's just you're paying a guy in free agency $6 million a year to play the cornerback position, which it's where does he fit in with what they want to do? And it's an interesting question. We'll have the opportunity to talk to Dave Caldwell later on this week, I'm sure, after all these signings start coming in, and ask him about the thought process with a guy like him and Scuda and Parnell. I mean, all these guys, it's been really interesting, the news on the Jaguars and the amount of starters they're bringing in. But this one, to me, is the most interesting, because you thought they may sign a corner. I didn't know that they were going to go out and sign a corner starter
money
to come in and
right.
be, I mean, that kind of guy for this team. You felt like they were pretty good there. They just needed to add some depth, and they've done it the opposite way. I'm not saying it's the wrong way to go, but what is the plan for that guy and the rest of these guys in the secondary?
6 foot, 195, 14 career starts.
Okay, so solid size for a cornerback.
He's only played 16 games one time.
He played 37% of Green Bay snaps. Again, $6 million, what are they going to do with the cap space? Right, throw a party with it at the end of the year on what they saved? I understand you can roll it over into next year.
Yeah.
Let's get some players right now. Is Devon House going to help this football team win games if he, in fact, becomes a Jacksonville Jaguar? Well, if he's better than some of what they've got, they can't. We don't know, right? But you don't know that about anybody. DeMarco Murray could sign here and blow out his knee.
Touchdowns.
He might. Why didn't he catch 26?
It's so easy.
What are you going to do in the second half of the year?
Well, he's going to sit out the last two games when they get ready for the playoffs.
Is that what it is? Well, that could be the case.
Rest him up, baby. Rest up those ankles, buddy.
Let's add more reason for you to dislike the horse-faced Shannon Sharpe. What did Shannon Sharpe have to say about the...
He said... Julius Thomas quit on the Broncos for less than $1 million a year. What's he going to do when he's making
right? Nine? Which is his prerogative. And we brought this up a couple weeks ago, Tony. I even brought up: is there a smear campaign going on with Julius Thomas, because there were unnamed players giving quotes to the Denver Post, basically saying the same thing, that he quit on us. The one guy who was, again, quoted without his name being put on it, said that, you know, one thing that stuck out to him was at one point when he wasn't playing, he said, you know, I'm about 90%. Probably give it another week and I'll be 100%. And the feeling was, look, nobody in the NFL is 100%, buddy. If you're 90%, there are a lot of guys out here at 70% that are playing. Why aren't you playing? Now, I don't know. For all I know, Julius Thomas, when he's saying 90% of what I need to be back on the field, could have been his reason. You just don't know.
The hacker has called out Shannon Sharpe.
Oh, well.
You got to do a hacker imitation.
I have to see that. I have to be able to get to the tweet to see it. Can you bring that to me, please? This is going to be a new feature.
He loves
for
this.
Him. It's dirt. Hey, Shannon Sharpe. How pathetic were the Jags on January 4th, 1997, my friend? .. Jack's 30, Denver 27.
Yeah. I saw the fake Ian rap.
That was
report.
Worth it.
And yeah. He went in on him, too. The rap shield. The guy instead of rap sheet went in on Shannon Sharp still bitter about the 96 playoffs, according to a source.
Apparently so.
Well, and like, you know, it's, you know, Shannon Sharp was like 95% of the players. Like, he was a mercenary. He would bounce from team to team. So it's just like, dude, in the NFL, get your money.
Right.
Because I can
I know they're all, they would all do the same thing in that regard. But you don't hear that plenty of guys, you don't hear gone after in that fashion, right? That the guy quit, that he's soft, that he's this. Well, you could say he's a finesse player. That doesn't mean he is soft. Like, take Dallas Clark or any one of the primarily just pass-catching tight ends that we've seen come through in the last 10 to 15 years.
Sure.
Doesn't mean you're a soft player. You can be a finesse player, and you're just not a big physical run-blocking type. They're suggesting this guy has no heart, that he's a quitter, and a lot of other things that you don't want ascribed to you as a football player.
Would be great now if the hacker on Twitter right now, his next tweet was, Shannon Sharp, can you come on the show today? But it's, I mean,
dirt.
All it like, you know, when you have, and I've talked to guys before who wouldn't want to be named and ripped a teammate. You know, 53 guys in a locker room, there's always going to be some kind of
who
says, this guy didn't suck it up. Caught 10 touchdowns the first 10 games before he went down. Team went down with him.
He left the offense, and now Manny got hurt. And I'm fine. He was hurt to what degree, whatever. And there was more of a focus on the run game. But was part of that reason because Julius Thomas was not 100% healthy. He did go out there, as his dad said, and play as a decoy at times when he maybe shouldn't have been playing. It was clear he'd be in the starting lineup. They never looked to him. He wasn't moving like he typically moves. So, who knows? Maybe Julius Thomas made Peyton Manning over the last 2 years. I say facetiously, all right? Tony, you also saw some reports on both Arizona and Tampa's interest or lack thereof in DeMarco Murray.
Yeah, a couple different reports coming out of those cities. They were mentioned as the other teams that may have been in on DeMarco Murray. DeMarco Murray reportedly, his agent at least, had conversations with the Dallas Cowboys last night, but the Broncos and Cardinals and Jaguars were the three teams listed as having interest. The reports coming out of Tampa right now are that whatever interest there may be in DeMarco Murray, don't get too excited about it. That's at least what their reporters are saying. And in Arizona, they're saying no interest.
No, because they realize I own Andre Ellington in one of my dynasty leagues, and they're really not trying to throw a monkey wrench into
that
situation.
That's one of the most fun parts. I follow all these fantasy guys on Twitter, too, and I don't get Mark Schlereth and Shannon Sharp, except for the fact that they're former Broncos going at Julius Thomas the way they are. It's watching the fantasy community just go, oh my God, what is happening?
Yeah.
Julius Thomas and DeMarco Murray in Jacksonville? Are you serious?
Yeah, because you never wanted Maurice Jones-Drew in your fantasy team, right?
Gosh,
I mean,
so ridiculous.
Whatever. I don't think any Jag fans are particularly caring about that aspect.
I told you
of
a couple weeks ago, just laugh, Jacksonville.
So
when they keep taking these pot shots at the city and the team, just laugh.
So you've got potentially here tomorrow on Jaguars Today. We've got
a 6-hour program.
We've got Julius Thomas potentially signing with the Jags today. We've got Parnell. So you got tight end, right tackle. All right, you've got on defense now Jared Odrick. So you got a starting defensive lineman. You got Scuda. Well, I don't think he got paid special teams money to come in here.
Looks like the auto right now.
Certainly, the first foot in the door on playing that position, first snap of the off season kind of thing, and now Devon House, if it all happens. So you've got a guy who is the money they're paying him indicates that they believe he's a starting caliber cornerback on your football team. You want him to do something. Look, I'm sure there are going to be people who said, they ain't gonna Dominican Sue, so they're blah blah blah. One guy tweeted yesterday how Gus Bradley is a big fat liar if they don't sign a Dominican Sue, as if Gus ever said they were signing a Dominican Sue, and I'm not gonna believe a thing he says from now on if they don't sign a Dominican Sue.
Right, and could still be in on DeMarco Murray. We don't know how that situation's gonna work out.
That ink's not dry in Miami yet. We can still get Sue, says Mike Dempsey.
Look, whatever you think about the signings they've made, and we'll see how they work out or don't work out. And like I said, I'm interested to talk to Dave Caldwell about a lot of these guys and the thinking behind bringing in a lot of these guys. But what you can't say is that this team didn't have an idea and a plan for what they wanted to do when they hit free agency. And for them to be going after guys like Devon House and Scuda and Parnell, this was their plan. They had it in place. They knew who they wanted. for this roster, and they've gone out and executed that plan. Whether it's the right one or not will be played out on the field, but this team had a clear idea of what they wanted to accomplish in free agency, and it looks like early on it's coming together.
Not only connected with so many guys, but apparently showing great interest that not, you know, not only Jags' name is listed in on XXX, and they miss out on all these guys. These guys are coming here, it looks like, and like you said, Tony, time will tell if the plan's the right one. But you can't fault the aggressiveness. At least I don't fault the aggressiveness in this case. It's pretty clear they made a significant overture to McCourty at safety. And they showed some level of interest in pursuing Randall Cobb. Those guys were going to be tough sells if the money was close to pull them away from their teams. But you're talking about adding five guys, potentially all of them opening day starters in 2015 when it's said and done. I think Rappaport tweeted out yesterday, because I know Jag fans were getting all over Charles Robinson the other day. Charles Robinson said Jag fans are all salty because, you know, nobody wants to go play there. You're going to have to massively overpay. And Rappaport tweeted out yesterday. He goes, just like I heard during when there were some coaching vacancies on the staff, coaches and players do want to go there now. It's changing. Now, that doesn't mean they want to go there necessarily over New England or Green Bay, but it's no longer kind of seen as the death sentence at the end, you know, the island unto itself at the end of the NFL world.
Unless you're a former Bronco.
Unless you're a former Bronco who's upset with, I guess, events of
catch
20
up.
Years ago.
It's not 1998 anymore, Shannon.
All right, we got to take a timeout. We'll come back. I still want to get your thoughts on Percy. Harvin, hey, look, I'm going to spend all that cap space before the day is done if it's down to me. So I'm going to spend it all. I'm going to have Mercedes. I'm going to put the squeeze on him. He's going to take half. I'm going to take that money. I'm going to allocate it to, I don't know, maybe a punt return gunner or something like that. I've got the money. It's going to burn a hole in my pocket. You're lucky I'm not the GM. But Dave Caldwell working overtime. We'll come back. Fan feedback spotlight asking you today, should the Jags aggressively pursue yet another big-name free agent, that being DeMarco Murray, right now of the Dallas Cowboys? I guess we'll find out as things play out over the course of the afternoon and possibly into tomorrow on that. Mike Dempsey, Ryan O'Halloran, and Fat Tony here with you. Jaguars today on the first day of free agency on 1010XL 92.5 FM. All right, coming down the home stretch here, Mike Dempsey, Ryan O'Halloran, Florida Times Union at Fat Tony here with you. Jaguars today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Going to get to the fan feedback spotlight asking you today if they have any pennies left in the jar. Should the Jags aggressively pursue DeMarco Murray? Look, anybody would take DeMarco Murray on a team-friendly deal. He's not going to sign a team-friendly deal to come to Jacksonville. He can get a team-friendly deal and stay in Dallas and play where he's always played behind a very productive offensive line that opens a lot of holes for him. So, with the situation being what it is, tons of response on this one today, Tony. For a little while, I thought this might be the first clean sweep. Everyone's going to say, hell yeah. But the naysayers have spoken up as well with some of the feedback that we've
yesterday
got.
Yesterday was really close to a clean sweep, too, with Devin McCourty being the guy the Jags missed out on.
Yes.
But Brian said, why not? Got the money to spend, and it's a need. Is it a risk? Yes, but why not swing for the fences? From Nick, yeah, you got the cap space to front-load the contract and can get rid of him with no dead money if needed. From at Irish Jaguar, sure. Why not? From Isaiah, no too many carries. Examples, Ray Rice, Sean Alexander, MJD, Marshawn Lynch to a degree. From Will.
Marshawn Lynch.
I know. That one doesn't work. But from Will.
Maurice got hurt.
Yes.
Was that a product of too many carries or a product of hurting his foot? I don't know. All right.
Who knows? Who knows? From Will, yes. Run him into the ground. From Robbie, does a bear crap in the woods? Is Con a billionaire? In other words,
I was asked if the Pope poops in the woods as well, because that's been a frequent response today.
From Ronald, we definitely should. We need that bell cow running back to help Blake out. From Chris, does the Pope wear a funny hat? Yes.
Does a bear wear a funny hat,
that's
perhaps,
right,
after he eats the Pope?
Jags Brothers, hell no. Draft one. Anyone notice all the clips in MJD's highlight film on Jaguars.com are from his first 5 years? From Jason, yes, this gives me the time / opportunity to find and develop your own elite back while competing now.
Here's a series of replies. I'm not going to read them all because they're all over the place. The ancient alien theorist says the answer is a resounding yes. That one from Steve Muncy. Ancient alien theorists theorize just about everything is called caused by visitations, by the way. I don't know if you ever watch Ancient Aliens. But
no, I have not.
Very entertaining. This one from Dustin Smith. Here's what I don't get. Okay, and look, you're entitled to your own opinion, but he says, run behind the Cowboys line equals 1,800-plus yards. Run behind the Jags line equals 600 yards, so no. Well, by that logic, then, that means Toby Gerhardt should be gaining, what, 87 yards this year for the Jags? Here's what I don't get. The line's not good. Let's not have a good running back on the team. You're not – what? Tell me if you were up – if you're New Orleans and you're over the cap, you got to cut all these guys. No, you shouldn't splurge on DeMarco Murray. The cap keeps going up and up. It's 143 this year. It's going to go up to 160. It's going to keep rising and rising. It's not going to cripple you in the future, in my opinion. I think they should do it. But, again, it's like I hear people, national pundits around the NFL, oh, Julius Thomas, what a waste. He's going to go play with Blake Bortles, inexperienced quarterback. Well, okay, shouldn't we try to get some weapons for Blake Bortles and make him less inexperienced and make him more productive? Shouldn't we help this offensive line with a better back behind it? Will they be a little bit more effective? And, oh, by the way, they're going to continue to try to improve that line. That's the one thing I don't get is that, you know, like, should we get a good cornerback? No, the pass rush isn't good enough. It's going to be wasted unless you're putting pressure on the quarterback. Get good players. Yes, there are some positions you should prioritize over others, sure. Some of the building block ones. But you can't fix everything in one free agency period. You could do a hell of a lot. I'm definitely on board with an aggressive pursuit of Mr. Murray.
Oh.
You I know are.
Yeah.
You gave that one right
because,
out of the bag.
The key reason why is you mentioned everything you do on offense and everything you do for this team should be what can you do to make Bortles successful.
You think Murray would help?
That would,
I do.
I do. Forget about these guys for a second. Getting Murray here would be the defining move of this tenure.
So far. Well, Bortles
free agent.
Yes, without question.
But Murray's the kind of guy that A, you wouldn't expect to get to the market, and B, it's the reason why you accumulate the cap space. It's, you know, it's fine if you want to get a corner, that's great. If you want to get an outside linebacker, you accumulate the cap space so you can get a star, I think, and that's why you
or several.
It's sitting right here for you. You have one at tight end right now. That you got.
Certainly, so, I mean, based on his play the last 2 years, he was a star.
You know, if they're able to get DeMarco Murray, but you know, at any point over the next whatever week or so, if they get him whenever, then Jaguar fans should be excited.
I would think most of them will be, actually. And look, it doesn't mean it's going to work out. I get that. By the way, to whoever it was who said that most of Maurice's highlights, I just want to check to make sure. Came from his first 5 years. You mean like when year six, when he led the league in rushing, we're going to overlook that one as well? Might want to expand that at least to 6 years.
At least six.
And then he was playing well, and he got hurt. Yes, running backs do fade. The question is, how much fade from last year to this year? Circumstances are going to be different. There's no question about that. He's not going to get as many carries. He's not going to run for 1,800 yards. If DeMarco Murray could come in and run for 1,250, and 10 to 12 touchdowns, what would that be worth to you? And catch another 40 balls out of the backfield.
And I'll get yelled down for this, but you come here and you say, hey, you're going to set out a lot of third downs. You know,
possibly.
You know,
just to save the wear and tear on him? Because he's certainly capable of playing all three downs.
You know, when it comes to crunch time in the third and fourth quarter. But hey, that first second quarter, hey, you're going to sit out a series.
And that's fine.
So, you know, I think the Jaguars would definitely do a good, better job of managing him. But also, you would anticipate if you have DeMarco Murray, you're going to have the ball more. So he's going to have a lot of carries in that second half when you're trying to win a game.
Right. Could DeMarco Murray handle 300 carries this year? I think he can. And I think he will wherever he plays. Could he get hurt? Sure, he could. Anybody can get hurt. That's the nature of football, period. I don't know if they're going to pursue him to that degree or not, but I'd be happy if they did. What are you shaking your head at over there?
I'm watching this Shannon Sharp thing as it develops between him and Jaguars.
Still him?
I just saw one. Someone said, why the long face, Shannon? Oh, wait, you're a horse. And he responded, your wife didn't complain last night. Like, he's getting to that point on Twitter.
Wow.
Responding to things people are saying.
Good thing he
show respect, get respect, bearded lady.
Good
you
thing
don't
he...
own a computer, so go to Kinko's to do it. You need to do some squats and get rid of that cellulite. I'm sorry your face hurt my eyes. We're even. What can I do to get you to put a shirt on? Your lips are so big, do you use spray-on chapstick?
This is what Shannon Sharp is saying?
Is responding to Jaguar fans with, cut the poop locks and call me tomorrow.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
Cut the poop locks.
These are the responses he's had to people on Twitter in the last 20 minutes.
These days?
He's CBS, isn't he?
Is he?
I thought he was. Is he still on there?
I don't think he's still on, or else he wouldn't probably be.
I don't think he is either.
So he has nothing to lose at this point.
Yeah, because there. I mean,
that's crazy.
Olbermann got suspended from ESPN for going after Penn State fans in a handful of tweets. I would think if he was working for any major conglomerate, he would be looking at a few weeks of unpaid leave coming up here. So keep stirring it up. And he does look like a horse. Man, we're just being honest. I mean, you do. Hey, great player. Hall of Famer, one of the best tight ends ever.
Right. Your wife didn't complain last night. That's his response to being called a horse.
Yeah, that was classic. That was classic junior high is what it was. So Shannon Sharp, hey, look, he can think whatever he wants. The Jags, put it this way, won't have the best player if they don't sign Ndamukong Suh. But in terms of the most impressive total haul of guys and prospective starters, if all the rumors come to pass, they're getting it done right now. Let's see if they all do come to pass, and let's see if they can get those guys, in fact, inked and announced today. Zane Beadles announced at about 4:10 last year. You guys expect Julius Thomas will be announced in the first hour of free agency.
I expect all these guys to be announced in the first hour.
You think it'll all be like one clean sweep, one Jags? Will it be one email missive, Jags sign five or agree to terms with five?
It won't. There won't be an email for a while.
Gotcha.
But
until it's all done, until the...
No, they'll, I don't. There will not be an email from the Jags until they've signed their contracts.
Right.
Tomorrow. So,
okay, so I gotcha.
But...
So you don't think anybody will be in to sign their contract today?
I don't think any...
If you're getting $9 million, I might show up. I don't know. That's
well,
just me.
Let's put Beatles in perspective. He was in L.A. last year, took the red eye, was here the next morning.
I gotcha.
So I think that's the first one, that kind of thing. But let's put it this way. When 4 o'clock rolls around during... Yeah, you'll be able to.
Such and such has agreed to terms. Such and such has agreed to terms.
Pending a physical.
Pending the physical. They do have to come in and take care of all that. And it's an exciting time, man. Look, I get it. You know, free agency doesn't typically win you the Super Bowl. But if you know, you can sit here and wait. How many more drafts are you going to need to catch up with New England and Seattle and Green Bay and the like? They're drafting players too. Go get some good guys who are all young. House, yes. By the way, is mid-20s. Well, fits the profile. They haven't really broken from that all that much. So, keep it tuned right here to 1010XL 92.5 FM for all the latest rumor, scuttlebutt, innuendo, and actual concrete facts occasionally slip their way into the broadcast. Good luck to the Jags out there today and all you Jag fans. What?
I didn't expect – I think they're having decent luck, I guess. They can use all help they can get.
Yeah, good luck. It's finishing stride. There's a lot more work to do, man. I mean, just
in
general.
Do they have a free safety in the fold by the end of tonight?
I say no. Yeah, by the end of tonight. I went on with Florio yesterday. He's doing like an around-the-league kind of deal. And my thinking is, you know, it's going to settle down for a few days, a week, whatever the time frame is. And then they're going to look. Because I don't think it's like you're willing to pay McCourty $10 million, so you're going to pay Raheem Moore or whoever. You know, 80% of that. I don't think there's an 80% guy out there.
Well, definitely true receiver.
I'm a Band-Aid guy with Antrell Roll. I am. And I've seen him connected with the Bears. I'd like to take a shot. Look, if you announce a class with four or five guys and some of these pretty decent players, certainly Julius Thomas, the most high profile so far, but imagine if you get DeMarco Murray. It's a little bit easier to start to sell to other veterans around the league that something is happening here. We all are not coming here just to chase the money. That's part of it, but we think we can win. Love to see a guy like that come through the door, but I think that's for a little bit later on in the process. That'll do it for us today. For Ryan O'Halloran, for Fat Tony, Tyler Devitt, and the vacationing. Joe Fortunato, we appreciate all the support from out there in Radio Land. Keep following all of us on Twitter throughout the day. We'll be commenting, I'm sure, on the news or creating it ourselves in the case of Ryan O'Halloran, perhaps, with his reports.
Creating it?
Reporting it?
I only make up stuff during the season.
I don't mean, like, completely making
analyzing
it up. You know what I'm
it.
Saying.
Yeah,
you might be reporting the news. You might be breaking the news. I don't break a whole lot of news. If you haven't noticed. Not my role.
So when do you start campaigning for like a five-hour show tomorrow?
Right now. We're going to show up tomorrow at early in the morning, and we'll go on as soon as they let us go on.
I got two more hours tonight. I'll be on from 8
right.
to 10.
There you go.
Yeah.
I got soccer practice this afternoon. So actually, while all the fun stuff's going on in the first couple hours, I'll be incommunicado. That's just the way it's going to be. All right, that does it for us today. XL Primetime coming up next, so stick around for those guys on 1010XL 92.5 FM.